All right. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jim Patterson. I'm the head of product for Yammer and the group program manager for Yammer inside SharePoint. And this is Drew Dillon. He's the director of platform for Yammer as well. So today we're going to have a talk. We're going to talk to you about the Yammer platform. We're going to talk about some of the sort of philosophical things, you know, behind the platform, what type of apps you can build on our platform, what types of integrations. And then Drew's actually going to go into a little more technical demo of how you actually go about doing it, and then actually demo a sample app that we built on our application. So just out of curiosity, just to get a sort of feel for the room, who develops internal apps for a SharePoint customer that so you build apps internally? And then who builds apps for sort of as a business for other companies? Okay, so
it's a good mix.
75-25.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so the Yammer platform is a really great way to integrate with Yammer for both of those use cases. Whether you work at a company and you want to integrate custom-built internal apps, or you work for a systems integrator and want to build a more generic app to integrate a product inside Yammer. So at Yammer, our mission really is to make companies more open and connected. And we think this is about, it's about being able to break down some of the organizational silos that exist in companies that make it difficult for people to communicate. So a lot of people think of social as a really great way for people in different departments to connect each other and get work done. And we look at the mission of something like Yammer really is to break down all of these silos. And when we look at all the different silos that exist, such as the corporate org structure, we actually see another big silo out there that's really preventing companies and people from within companies to be able to connect. And really what that is, it's all the different business apps that exist within your organization. So if you think about your sort of IT investments, you know, it's all of these sort of three-letter acronyms, these big systems. So you have your CRM app, you know, customer service, ERP, content management. You know, and ultimately the employees working in these apps do most of their work in there, and they live in their day-to-day. So salespeople day-to-day live in their CRM app. They're inputting all this rich data, but the problem is it's locked up inside that CRM app. You know, just likewise, all your finance people and your operations people are putting all this valuable data in your ERP system, but again, it's locked away in these proprietary systems, and there's no way to surface that outside of that silo. So what happens is these apps themselves actually become silos that sort of reinforce some of the organizational structure of your company. And it makes it difficult to do cross-departmental sharing because of that. And then if you look at sort of the trends, where things are going, we think the number of apps in traditional organizations is only going to increase. In fact, you're going to see an explosion of the number of apps that you see. This, you know, this trend, you can call it consumerization, you can call it the cloud. But really what it is it's the fact that now that users have a little more choice and the tools that they use to get work done, you're going to see an explosion in the number of apps. Now, some of these things will be officially sanctioned by IT, and others will be people will bring in to the organization. Maybe unsanctioned at first, eventually get sanctioned, but ultimately people still might be using all kinds of things to share devices. You know, just like a lot of people talk about the BYOD movement, the sort of bring your own device, that brought iPads and iPhones and Android phones into the workplace to sort of supplant some of the more traditional things like BlackBerries. We think there's going to be a BYOS movement, a bring your own software movement. And ultimately, we think this is a good thing. People are going to be able to use software that's better, which you know they're choosing to use rather than sort of being forced to use. And ultimately, this will benefit the business because their employees will be happier. They'll be using the technology in a much deeper way. Now, we're not advocating total anarchy. We know that a lot of this is going to need to be structured and managed in order to be embraced by companies so that they feel comfortable moving forward in this direction. Also, for the users, it also creates a user experience problem where the things are sort of, you know, all your data is in different apps and the different user experiences. So there needs to be a seamless experience across this. So solving this problem is really what the Yammer platform is all about. And ultimately, we want to enable this consumerization trend and make it easy for companies to adopt using best-of-breed apps. So our platform is about making it really easy to integrate in these apps, so apps that exist today, or any new apps that you might create within your organization. So if you're thinking today of building a custom app inside your company, really think about using Yammer to build that app upon. So things like authentication, adding social experiences, and then really trying to tie together the people, the data with the people who aren't necessarily in that app. So as I said, embracing this trend isn't going to be very easy to do, because if you think about, again, today, each app becomes this information silo. You know, and these apps don't work well together today. You think about, for example, SAP and Zendesk. So one is sort of ERP and operations, the other is customer support, or even a CRM app. You know, those things, your CRM and your customer support app really should be very tightly knit together. But, you know, you may not want to buy a suite. You may not want to buy all of your apps being from the same developer. You want to be able to use the best of breed things. So this is another one of the problems that we're attacking. And again, things like IT management become challenging. Think about what happens when you have all of these apps if an employee is terminated, right? You have to figure out how do we remove all of their access and deprovision all of their accounts and all of the different apps that they're in. Did they have a Dropbox account? Do they have a Box account? Who knows what kind of things that your employees are using? So again, bringing all these things together so it can be managed by IT. And also driving adoption. So, your company may actually choose a particular vendor, a particular application, but people may not even know about it, and they're going off using some other one. So you really need a way to sort of drive adoption to the sort of official things that the companies are doing. So again, these are all of sort of the problems that we think the Yammer platform really helps solve. So if you think about how a lot of companies have responded to this, a lot of them are responding to a lot of the challenges that I just laid out by developing their own social applications or their own social networks or their own social features inside their app. So if you think about now, almost every piece of business software out there has some sort of social component into it, whether it's feeds or profiles or following things or sharing or making connections. You think about something like Salesforce CRM, they have this social network built inside called Chatter. And it's actually a really great way. Chatter is a really great way to connect inside of all Salesforce's products. So if you're using CRM, you can connect with other salespeople. The problem is not everyone in your company is in Salesforce, because Salesforce is primarily focused on customer relationships. So people in your R&D department, your product development, may not be there in Salesforce. Now, it's very, very common where a salesperson needs to get an answer from someone in product management, for example. And if they're both not in the same system, it becomes a problem, where the promise of having this social network built inside of the apps doesn't really work because everyone's not there. And really what you end up with is sort of social network sprawl, where you have a dozen different apps that have a dozen different social networks. None of them connect together. So what we're looking at is trying to build essentially a single social network, where all of these social networks that are being mapped out in apps like Chatter and Zendesk and TripIt, all of those connections that are being created in those systems can all be brought together through a single system through Yammer. And we just feel that this is inevitable. If you look at what happened on the consumer side in the same situation a couple years ago, there were just this explosion of social applications in the consumer space. Every photo sharing app, every dating website, all of these things, every video sharing site, all built in all these social features. But ultimately, people want to share where everyone else is. And that's the most important part of a social network, is that everyone needs to be there to leverage those network effects. And as we've seen on the consumer side, what happened was ultimately Facebook basically won the war. And now all of these things are integrating themselves into Facebook. And it's not a bad thing. It's not bad that Flickr, for example, isn't its own social network based on photos, but instead they let you easily share your photos from Flickr into Facebook. It surfaces those photos to all your Facebook friends and ultimately works out better for everyone, where you don't have to worry about maintaining hundreds of different accounts on hundreds of different social networks. And really at work, we feel that Yammer is that platform. We want Yammer to be the sort of single social layer that ties together all the different apps you use. From the major apps, things like CRM, some companies like SAP, and then startups like Zendesk, and then even the internal apps that you're all building within your organizations that do very custom things. We want to support all of those and bring those all together in one place. And that's really what the Yammer platform is all about. The goal is to provide a single, consistent social experience across all the different apps in your organizations. And then also make sure we bring that data, all of the data that's being created in all of these apps, and being able to surface that across the business apps as silos. So applying some of that social logic to that data and then surfacing it to other people who may not even be in that application itself. So I'm going to show a little video now that basically, just to set it up, it just shows a single use case of how you can use Yammer to collaborate across four different apps to actually get work done. I really want one of those bags. I don't know where to get it.
Yeah, throw your Surface in there.
Okay, so you know, that's sort of an overview of the Yammer platform and what the big vision is on why we think it's a great way for you to leverage a single social experience across your apps. Now let's get a little deeper and talk, this is a technical session, so talk about actually how we're going to do this and some of the technical things behind it. So it's kind of dark, but I think I see everyone. Raise your hand if you've ever developed an app on Facebook, for example. Okay, so a few. So Facebook, when they created their platform, the way they did it is they created a protocol called Open Graph. And what Open Graph really is it's a way to take all of the connections that are happening across the internet and bring them into Facebook's social graph. And basically what we've done is we've extended Facebook's implementation of Open Graph to what we call the enterprise graph. And what it allows us to do is take all of the data that exists across all of the apps in your organization and bring them into Yammer so that they can be part of our social graph and then we can start to build interesting features on there. So for example, one feature we have is a feature we call pages. So for every object in our system, it also has a corresponding page on Yammer. It's actually kind of like a profile page. So if you look at what you can see here, this is a CRM record in Dynamics. And it has a corresponding page on Yammer. So you can see here, this is an opportunity for this deal for Contoso Company. And it kind of looks like a user profile. There's a lot of things going on here. So the first thing is a message feed. So what this is all the conversations happening across the entire organization that reference this particular object. So you can see here, David Sachs is praising someone. There's a few comments, people working on it. If you look over to the right, you see recent activity. This is a real-time activity ticker of people making changes on that record, not just in Yammer, but also updating metadata about the record in Dynamics itself. You can see the top one here is somebody updated the probability from 90% to 60%. So what actually ends up becoming is sort of a real-time audit log of all the changes, not only the changes, the people who made those changes. Because really what Open Graph is about, it's about people making connections to data, to objects. And you can see that in the way the stories are structured in the activity. It's always user, action, object. And that's sort of the language of Open Graph. Open Graph really allows us to map all of this data and connections across different apps by using this sort of simplified language of user, action, object. We can do some other interesting things once we have this data in Yammer. You look at, there's a module here called related content. So we can actually relate different objects to other objects. And what's really interesting is this is a record in Dynamics, but the related content is our documents or other records in other apps like TripIt. So you can see here, this is someone's meeting in Chicago about Contoso, and that object of that TripIt record, the trip, is related to this CRM record in Dynamics. And then you can also do things like follow and share. Now another feature we have that's really interesting is called Yammer Embed. And what Yammer Embed is you can actually break up all of the parts of that page, like the feed and the follow buttons and all the different modules, and actually embed those in the app where the object itself lives. So this is Microsoft Dynamics. This is actually where the record, the sort of canonical place for this particular record that we were talking about on the previous Yammer page. So if you look here, there's a follow button in the upper left. That follow button is actually powered by Yammer. If you were to follow the record right here in Dynamics, you'd actually also be following it on Yammer because Dynamics is sending us the activity story, user, action, in this case follow, and then object, Contoso, deal. And each object has sort of a unique ID. So it allows us to sync up things that are going on in one UI to the other UI, again, trying to make that seamless social experience across them. Because you think about it, it doesn't make sense if I follow a record, if I follow this record in CRM, why would I not be following it also in Yammer? To a user, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So it's really nice that you can start to sync up all of these different actions. And again, because the language is generic, the follow action could be anything. It could have been like, it could be a vote, it could be all kinds of actions that you have in your app. You just syndicate that over to us, and the Yammer is more semantically aware of those actions. Another interesting thing is the feed. So you can actually embed the feed itself that exists on Yammer over in the object itself. The object where it lives. So if you think about the workflow now of a salesperson working on this record, they can follow it if they're interested in it. That means whenever anyone discusses this record, whether they're doing it from here or within Yammer itself, they'll be notified. And then they can see the single feed of all the conversations happening about this record. And this record, that feed is identical. It's mirrored over. So this is the, again, this is the profile page, and this is the actual page in CRM. The feed is mirrored. So if you were to post into this feed right here, it would immediately be visible in Yammer. And you can do things like at mention people who don't even have an account, for example, in Dynamics. So it solves that problem you think of where a salesperson often needs to ask a question from someone in product management. Now they can directly at mention the product manager right from Dynamics or right from any app where they're working. And then the product manager actually sees it in their Yammer feed. They don't even need to come into CRM to even interact with the question. They might not even know that the salesperson even posted it from here. And all of this is available across all our mobile devices. So you saw in the video how mobile's a component. Oops. So it allows you to immediately make all your apps social and mobile. And then on each user profile, so we talked about how each object has a profile. Users have a profile as well, and you can actually start to see how a user's profile starts to turn into a timeline of all the objects that they're dealing with. So not only is it all of their Yammer activity and Yammer discussions, you can actually see what things they're doing across all of their different apps. So whether it be posting, updating in CRM, or updating records in Zendesk, it's sort of all here in one place on a user's profile. So these are Yammer pages and Yammer embed. It's sort of the data in, data out components of our platform. And it's all very simple. It's all based on an open standard called Open Graph. And you can go to our developer website and learn more about it. So now I'm going to turn it over to Drew, who is going to do a little more technical demo of a sample app that we built on our platform.
Great. Thanks, Jim. I'm going to switch monitors, which should go swimmingly. Great. So how does it all work? So it's a few different pieces. I think the core philosophy behind Open Graph is actually, believe it or not, about structured data, which may seem kind of strange because, you know, you tend to think of social as being entirely unstructured. And to a large degree, you're correct. But there is, you know, we find a lot of benefits out of unstructured communication. There's essentially zero learning curve to an unstructured conversation. If you have the ability to just blast out a question, you'll find that you're able to get a lot more answers back a lot faster. You can accelerate that if everyone's in the place where you've asked that question. And there are essentially no rules to completely unstructured communication. You don't have to go through your management hierarchy or org chart or any of those things to actually find the correct person to actually ask that question. In totally unstructured communication, you actually have the ability to ask a much broader set of people. As some of our customers have noted, the ability to actually have a CEO speak to a first-year analyst about a new pitch or a new campaign or a new policy is a huge benefit. Somebody can come in day one in Yammer and start asking questions in the Yammer network, and they're going to get responses right back. They don't have to figure out who to address that to. They don't have to file any kind of forms. They don't have to fill out any complicated systems. And that's a huge benefit of social technology in general. But the ending effect is essentially you don't know how to get work done. I think a lot of people end up figuring out and creating essentially a task list out of their email. Because unstructured communication, because it's so interesting and useful and because there are no rules, people will gravitate back to it rather than actually use the tools that I'm sure a lot of you are providing. I'm sure you've seen this in your existing implementations of SharePoint or CRM, that if people find that there are too many rules, they're going to resort back to email, and you get these long email threads that kind of go nowhere. And for that exact reason, Yammer starts out unstructured. The core of Yammer is that unstructured communication, the ability to ask a question of a much broader audience, get that response back, crowdsource ideas, and that's really the central feed, the ability to have those conversations about those business objects to get work done in a fast fashion without having to go through extensive training. But purely unstructured data has limitations. Noise reduction is a huge concern. How do you make sure that the right information finds the right people? How do you make sure that it's not overwhelming to people who have been using it for a long time? Those things are very important. Also archival, if you want to save that information off, have it for knowledge-based purposes. If it's completely unstructured, it gets very hard to kind of figure out where the information is. As a person who's been around for a while in a busy and large enough community, it becomes difficult to parse that information and keep it as a long-term knowledge store. And then lastly, interoperability. Purely unstructured communication means it's much more difficult to actually make two systems work together. If I'm unstructured and you're unstructured, then what does the overlay look like? What does it look like when two social conversations come together? How do you organize those things? So purely unstructured information, essentially, it's great for collaboration and the new user experience. It's great for finding information and improving overall communication. And that's why Yammer starts out with unstructured. But you'll find that Yammer actually quickly moves to a structured flow. So now if you look at more advanced features, as somebody digs in further into Yammer, you'll find that there is actually a lot of structure. There's an inbox for priority messages. There are groups for organization of content. There are recommendations in the lower right down here. There are this feed of activity that's coming out of third-party business systems and Yammer. So quickly we build structure in a way that we can stand out of the way of that unstructured communication, achieve all the benefits there, and then also maintain the structure and overlay it on top of Yammer. And most importantly, I think, are the main difference between the message feed, where people have communications, a very high signal ratio. Things in the message feed are extremely important. Those are people talking to people, and we don't drown that out with overwhelming it with machine messages. And then the activity stream. This is where machines are communicating, where they're offering kind of a serendipitous discovery, but it quickly evolves into much more than that. Because activity has structure. User, action, object. That is the core of OpenGraph. I'm going for the best live tile award, if anybody wants to nominate me. So essentially, Drew uploaded SPC prezo.ppx. What's happened here is they've sent us a very, very simple story. I've gotten this very simple sentence. The sentence hides incredible amounts of data. This is a deep data level integration of a kind that's never been possible before. By giving you this very simple structure to start with all of this depth, the overall integration effort is extremely low. There's low cost for people building an application like this because they can just start with this tiny piece of information. Essentially, an OpenGraph object is a link. So I can get all the activity out of all these third-party systems. I can build those views and those pages that Jim showed you almost real-time, basically, because it's so simple and so easy to do. And this is the core of OpenGraph. This is the Facebook standard for activity aggregation in the consumer space. We're big fans of consumerization, obviously, on a number of levels, but I think the fact that Facebook kind of is the internet right now means that this is pretty much the consumer standard for activity aggregation. There are others out there in the market. I think largely they've been pushed out of the consumer space, and they've basically become enterprise only, and that's not really our cup of tea. So effectively what Yammer becomes, and we show this slide a lot, sometimes we show it as data in, data out. I like to think of it this way. OpenGraph is how structured data comes into Yammer. This is how we get the stories, the activities out of third-party business systems, how we make those things interesting and relevant to our end users, how we show serendipitous discovery through the activity stream, how we have conversations about third-party activities within Yammer. And then connect, including those embed widgets, is how we get unstructured communication out, how you have those conversations, how you talk about things in Yammer from a third-party system. So now we're going to go ahead and show you some of the things we've done. I think it's a little hard to visualize these things sometimes, and that's why we actually went ahead and we built a sample application of our own. And we heard you guys like demos, so we're going to jump right into it. So this is Yammer. This is just a demo network that we have set up. You can see the activity stream over here showing the activity that's coming out. It's a mix of both Yammer messages as well as third-party activities. So we decided to build an app that would fully leverage a lot of the different API endpoints that we have. I'm going to give you kind of this demo today. There's actually a session tomorrow by my colleagues sitting down here, Neil McCarthy and Mike Amerlin at 3:15 tomorrow, where they're actually going to show you building some of these applications as an Office web app and get into the real nitty-gritty Visual Studio stuff that you guys love. But for now, we're just going to show you kind of what we built here. So Skidoo essentially is a scheduling app. You can think of it as a multi-choice poll, but specifically around scheduling events. So we start off with the sign in with Yammer button. This is a pretty simple OAuth flow. What it's doing is essentially delivering an OAuth access token to the Skidoo application. Hopefully the internet will cooperate with me here. There we go. So I've actually already logged in before. Otherwise, you would have actually seen that allow deny screen that you expect out of Facebook and other OAuth flows today. So this is where I schedule the event. The event is going to be pretty simple. Have a date picker. And so now I've created the event. So this is all kind of Skidoo functionality. There's nothing particularly Yammer-centric about this. But what's happening as I take these actions is they're being delivered in that activity stream. So they're coming back into the activity stream. So now people who might be following me in Yammer might actually be seeing these. These are public messages, so they go out to all my followers. There is the ability to both to also make them private, so only a certain subset of people can see them. So now I can email, or I can additionally add people. This is a really cool capability. So now this is our autocomplete API. What you're getting out of this API is essentially our ranked algorithm. Our social relevance algorithm is delivering what users, groups, and things that are most interesting to this user. So the people I'm most likely to invite to an event are available through an API endpoint. So now I can add Neil. What this will do for an individual is actually deliver a private message through Yammer. We can actually go see that. So now Neil will have gotten a message in his inbox. And Jim has sent him an invite. Standard messages API there. Let's see, maybe I want to let the executive team know. I can invite a group, and I'll actually post it into the group's feed. And of course, as I've been doing all of this, all of these things are again being delivered to the activity stream. So now as I've, just for the very fact that I sent this thing to the activity stream in the first place, it's actually created one of those Open Graph pages. So now I can click on here. And I can jump right into the Yammer page that discusses and aggregates all of these conversations. So anytime anyone talks about this object across all of Yammer, I'm now be able to see all those conversations in one single place. Anytime somebody discusses this business object. Now think of this in the sales case. I now have an object from my CRM tool. With that object, I can actually at mention IT support on this page. So I don't need to have a specific license for every user of my CRM application. I can actually have that unstructured social conversation about that business object, get the help that I need here within Yammer. And of course, down here, we've now mirrored that exact same feed. And again, the conversation is the exact same. Now we've mirrored that conversation. So all of those things happen basically near real time through those simple embed widgets. Usually it's four lines of JavaScript code to get one of those conversations onto your page. So we think there's huge application there both for internal IT applications that may not have been social before that you're just trying to get more visibility and more use out of, as well as a third-party opportunity. Well, why build a conversation feed if you can have conversation in a place that more people are? More people in that place, more eyeballs on your product. And of course, you essentially can build your own growth out of this because I've now pulled all the users out of Yammer. I can see all the socially ranked people. I can add more users. I can get more eyeballs back on my system. So that's about the whole of Embed. It's a pretty simple system. Of course, as I vote, it'll also show up in the activity stream. Embed we built as an open source application. The idea is that now that you've kind of seen the full end-to-end, that people will be able to use our platform a little bit better. It is a Rails application. It's hosted in GitHub at yammer/skidoo. And I think, I don't know if you guys get all the presentations after this, but we'll have all the links in the presentation as well. So there are a few tools additionally that are available to developers that are building these kinds of applications. The main starting point is our developer site. So through our developer site, you'll get documentation. You'll be able to drill into our case studies. And actually, there is a, and it also links to where you can create an app, but you'll also be able to log into our developer network. Our developer network is a Yammer community specifically for people developing apps. And there are people there from pretty much every technical background that you can imagine, .NET, Java, Ruby, JavaScript, HTML, you name it. And we also like to think of it as integrating with Yammer is extending your reach, both for independent developers as well as internal line of business application developers. Another interesting thing that we've added recently is actually the application directory. What's great to note about the application directory, not only do we have 50 plus external applications, as an internal app developer, you actually have the ability to create and publish your applications to your local community in this forum. So if you create a line of business application, you want more users to use it, you can actually create it through our application creation section, and you can actually deploy it to your local app directory so that your users can actually go and use your app. I think it's a great great benefit of that system. And of course, Yammer for third-party developers is experiencing rapid growth. Over 6 million users, 300,000 plus networks. There are 7,000 users in that developer community, all there answering questions with each other. And then we've logged to date from our third parties over 2.4 billion API calls. So 2.4 billion events have hit Yammer that were originated by the developer community. And I expect that number to just keep going up and up and up. And then, of course, I'm sure you've all heard a little bit about Yammer's rapid development methodology, and that extends to both the platform, the web, as well as our mobile applications. So just in the past year, we've released a number of features that are specific to platform, and my goal is to continue to make strategic investments into platform and making partners and line of business developers successful. We've added the ActivityStream API and updated capabilities out of the ActivityStream API in Q1. We've added universal search. So that was the ability that Jim showed for you to search all business objects almost instantaneously when we get them. So if somebody's looking for information about that company picnic, they're going to see it in their search. The hover cards, the ability to kind of get another glance at what the information is as it comes in the activity stream and drill in further. Those object pages just released a couple weeks ago, announced at our user conference and as well as that app directory. So all of this has been building very, very quickly, and I think it's really had a snowballing effect on the overall value of the platform to developers. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and bring Jim back up here and remind you that you can fill out the pop quiz on MySBC, that the answers are all excellent. It's all fives or ones or whatever that is. So great, can we go ahead and open it up to questions, probably bring up the house lights.
Yeah, bring the lights back.
Yeah. Let's see, how do you view source in this thing? Yeah. I need a mic. Where do you view source in this guy?
Does anyone know the keys to view the source in Internet Explorer? There it is. We use Chrome. You should show the embed.
Yeah, let's just do that.
Just explain that.
Yeah, we'll just jump back in here. So here under the Connect section, here's the login button. This will give you the default kind of look and feel. You can always use just the underlying OAuth2 protocol. The embed widget is down here. It's a regular script. There's also, you also have the ability to embed group feeds. So if we jump back and hop into a group, if you actually click embed this feed over here, you're going to get all the JavaScript you need.
Yeah, so this JavaScript's the same. You can probably see there's basically a feed ID. So this is, you can see here, it's feed type group, feed ID. So all you do to embed an object feed is just put in essentially the ID for that. So every object in Yammer has basically a feed, and you just need to get its ID, and then you can use this same JavaScript to change, even dynamically change the actual feed that's being shown depending on the page you're on.
And the really cool thing about the Open Graph feeds actually is you can drop kind of a generic even smaller list of JavaScript on the page. And the first time somebody clicks that button to sign in, essentially it creates that Open Graph page, it creates the feed, adds the feed to the page, all without you having to do any additional coding. I will recommend checking out the Open Graph standard, ogp.me. The embed widget will actually do is it will scrape the page, find all of the Open Graph metadata, add it to the page that it creates. So it'll grab title, description, image, all those pieces that are part of the standard Open Graph metadata. So you can add essentially a flurry of like buttons to an internal blog, or replace commenting from that internal system with one of these feeds. And all it really needs is for somebody who's logged in to find that thing, and it'll create the object, start the conversation.
Yeah, go ahead. You just yell it out, I'll repeat it. Yeah, so he's talking about OEmbed. So yes, among other things. So we basically sort of have a hierarchy. We have the Open Graph protocol is the first one. So if you have a bunch of pages and you want to bring them into Yammer, the best thing to do is add these Open Graph headers to all your pages. So you can see here. And it's very simple. It's just basically adding that metadata. And Open Graph also supports videos, images, text, things like that. But we do have a fallback. So if there's no Open Graph headers, we'll fall back to OEmbed. And we even have a fallback where if there's nothing, we'll try to intelligently scrape the page to try to find, for example, for the image. We'll try to find the largest image on the page or the one that's most central. For the description, we'll try to look for whatever's in the first H1 tag, things like that. So we're trying to be pretty friendly even if you haven't gone through the trouble of adding the tags. But if you add these OG tags, so you're guaranteed to be able to control what the metadata looks like at the end user. So best thing is use Open Graph tags. We do support OEmbed, too.
Yeah, you could also add the metadata right into the JavaScript call. Makes it a little bit easier if you don't necessarily own the rest of the page real estate.
Yeah. So in the case of Dynamics, the Dynamics team actually built. So once they have your OAuth token, functionally the way it works is every user. So the app has an OAuth token for every user that sort of represents you. Every time you do something where they want to post an activity story, we have an API endpoint that basically is the verb. So in this case, it would be post to the updated endpoint, or maybe a put in that case, and then you'd basically have the body would be. The object. So we know who you are from the token, we know the verb from the endpoint, and then we know the object. Now, with the object, you can just give us a URL, and that's all you could do. So this, as he was saying, it's a very simple if you want to get started, especially if the objects are publicly available. If you just give us the URL, what we'll do is actually go fetch the URL and try to pull some of the metadata off the page. You can also push to us the metadata. So in the example of CRM, where the objects aren't publicly accessible on the internet, you have to push the metadata to us as part of that call, so you're describing it. But also what's interesting is if we already have the object in our system, so all Open Graph objects are keyed by a URL. They have to have a unique URL. We could use the metadata that's already in Yammer. So basically the first time you send us a record or CRM record, you have to give us all the metadata. But subsequent times, we'll just use the cache metadata we have. Now if you want to change it, you basically just send us a new activity update with a change verb, and then you pass us the new metadata, and then we'll automatically keep the single copy of that Open Graph object up to date for us. So what's nice that they're keyed by URL is anyone else could just, for example, copy the URL to, say, a Salesforce record, and then just paste it in a new message, and it actually is the same thing as posting to that feed that was embedded. Everything's keyed by that URL. So, in fact, sharing links on Yammer, so if, like blogs and news articles, all use the Open Graph system as well. So it's really an Open Graph object is really just a web page. And then there's a sort of metadata describing around it. So this is an example of an object hover card. And what you can control is the metadata. So you can control that image, the title, the description, and essentially the metadata. Part of the rationale behind the way we built our platform is it's a data-level integration, not a UI integration. So the trade-off you get as a developer is you have less control over how these things appear, ultimately, in Yammer. And you know, that's a big hurdle as a developer that you're going to have to get over, basically, where you know it's much more important that as the platform moves forward, it's not held back by tightly coupled UI integrations. I mean, if you've built on other platforms, you probably experience, new version, that means all the old apps stop working, and you know there's this sort of pain point where you have to upgrade your apps and all your customers are in a terrible place because they can't upgrade to the new version of the thing because your app's holding them back. We don't want to sort of get into that. We think by loosely coupling UI, so we build the UI features. We just want the data and rich semantic data, and then we'll build the search, and we'll build the sort of feed experiences, and we'll try to surface the information to the end users. And that allows app developers to just basically build the app once and never have to worry about it again. So all you saw that slide Drew showed that showed universal search and hover cards and object pages and embeddable feeds. If you built an app at the beginning of that, you didn't have to do anything to get all those features for free. So, you know, you could have app, we had no search, but as soon as we hooked up search, we're indexing all those objects, and then your app automatically gets universal search for free. So we think there's just a much better developer story, particularly for integrating internal applications, where it's not, you know, in many cases, not people's full-time job to maintain these things. There's really no one inside companies that are maintaining these things. So a lot of times, you just need to set them up and make sure they don't break forever. So we were trying to build a platform around just a structured data integration that's very simple, user action object, and then we'll build the sort of Chrome and the features around it.
Yeah, so this is essentially the page that you get. You get the title bar up here, icon, you can embed rich media, either an image or like this YouTube video here, description down here, and then all your icons and things flow through search and the hover cards, et cetera.
Yeah, so in this integrates perfectly well with SharePoint on-prem. So it's essentially the same thing. You can basically turn all the files, for example, in SharePoint, whether it's SharePoint Online, Office 365, on-prem. You can turn those into Yammer objects and have those conversations around them. And we're not storing the actual data. So it could be, say, a Word document that you want to have a conversation about in Yammer, but the document, the data itself, still is in SharePoint. So, you know, we're not as concerned about the actual data. We just really care more about the idea of the object to add it to our graph rather than the actual data itself, because we want to be the conversation layer, again, across all these different apps. So SharePoint's a great type of integration. In fact, before the acquisition, Yammer had really tight SharePoint integration through our Open Graph protocol, where you can actually have conversations about SharePoint objects inside Yammer without actually violating any of the security controls. And if someone clicks through, remember you're opening the URL in SharePoint, so it respects all the permissions. No one's gonna be able to access the object if they don't have permission to access the object. Yeah, I mean, you can do it however you want. So with we have a custom, we built out basically a custom SharePoint integration that can automatically pull in most of the public files in a SharePoint instance. So if you're using SharePoint as a document repository, using Yammer as a conversation layer on top of that is a pretty good experience. And you know, something we're advocating. And as the two products start to come together over time, that will just get better as we get sort of tighter integration.
Yeah, you can see a demo of all this in our booth, actually. They've got the live running version of our on-prem SharePoint integration in there.
Yeah, remember, these platform apps, although you know we love the cloud and we want to push people to the cloud, the apps that integrate with our platform can still be on-premise, right? Our SAP integration is on-premise SAP. That's our extension to the Open Graph protocol. The original implementation of the Open Graph protocol required all the Open Graph objects to be on the public internet. We extended that by allowing developers to essentially push the metadata so that if the object is behind a login wall or behind a firewall, we can still actually get out the metadata and talk about the object without the object itself actually sort of ever leaving the confines of your firewall. The only negative is if someone clicks on a file and they're not on the VPN, for example, it'll appear like it could open, but they'll get whatever they get when they try to open files. So that's some of the downsides of on-premise, but I'm sure everyone knows that cloud's better. Yeah. So what we have now is built pre-acquisition, but we're working right now as Microsoft on the next stuff, which will be built in. We are Microsoft, so we're building in some new versions of that to get tighter hooks, essentially. So at some point in the future, all files in Yammer will be in SharePoint. The lines will blur. So in the SharePoint's obviously a special case of integration because we're going to be integrating them beyond Open Graph with actual native tighter integrations. Yep. Probably not. We do have to rationalize search. So there's when you look across the products, essentially Exchange, SharePoint, Yammer, and Link, there's some obvious overlaps that will all get rationalized. So groups is one. Almost every product has their own concept of groups. Identity is one that probably one of the first ones we'll tackle is identity. And search. So yes, there will be at some point a unified search. Now we would like it to be type ahead. I'm sure you guys would like it to be type ahead as well as fast as ours is. It's called fast, but as fast as ours is. It'll all get worked out. We don't intend to have a separate search. But when you think about at mentioning, the type ahead, we're actually much more concerned with the type ahead experience than the search results. So, I think what FAST and some of the existing search stuff is really good at the results. Yammer search results are frankly very weak, but our type ahead is really good. So I think if you think about sort of splitting things up, we're much more concerned about the recommendations, the suggesting what your search results would be before you execute the search. But if you do execute the search, then it goes to some centralized search function. Anything else?
It's a few different pieces. There's essentially we hook into the eventing system. I think right now it's integrated most closely with the notes, what eventually became the feed in SharePoint, the news feed. There's also the ability to share a document into Yammer right from the document library. You just click a button, says share. You get a little dialog. If you post in the dialog, it sends us essentially a link back to that document, so it's an Open Graph object as soon as we get it, and then you've started a conversation in Yammer. So that's largely the integration today. Yeah, it's a WISP file for the on-prem version right now. And we're looking, we'll of course create probably a 365 app for the time being in the middle term. You saw kind of those three phases of integration. Near term will probably be a 365 app, and then longer term will be much deeper integration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Open Graph objects. So
yeah.
What, as we think about that, help us think through what kinds of SharePoint objects make sense to turn into Open Graph objects. Obviously files, and we've already done that. What about all the other objects in SharePoint, list items?
Yep.
What are the constraints?
Anything that has a URL, the sort of canonical.
Anything that can be a page.
Yeah.
Yeah, and ideally anything that has a page where people are performing some kind of action on there. So the way you do it is you sort of try to mentally map out what the people are actually doing. So there's humans taking actions on the objects, and that's how you try to suss out what the objects are and what the actions are. You know, what would make sense to people? So updating a list, you know, voting on in the discussions, voting on the best answer, or there's a lot of little, you know, little parts where you could think about, okay, what's the action? And so just try to structure the sentence, right? The user took an action on the object, so Drew uploaded a file, right? And you see there, it's like, okay, well, the file is the object, right? And the uploaded is the action.
Yeah, the three that we started with that we prioritized were documents, calendars, and tasks. But effectively, any list item, as long as you can get that URL from it, can be an Open Graph object. So we just started out pretty simple, but you can continue to build. Also, what's going to be coming, we offer kind of a static list of objects that we support today, kind of our enterprise extensions. It's up here. Kind of a static list today. We're going to have the ability for you to create your own custom objects and custom actions. So if there's something specific that your company built that's very unique to your line of business, you'll be able to create your own action type, a new verb that isn't necessarily a Yammer canonical version, as well as a custom item. If there's a specific widget that you guys use that's very unique to your business, you'll be able to add that as well. So that'll be coming in the next couple months. Yep.
Like approved. Yeah, the ones up here are just the ones right now we do something special with. As you said, we're eventually going to extend this so you can do any verb. But like, for example, we have a concept of like. So if a user likes something in your app and you tell us about that, we'll also like it in our app to keep those things synced. Same thing with follow. So you saw in Dynamics, Dynamics has a follow button. But by sending us the follow story, we can also follow that object in Yammer so that the list of people following in both sides is synchronized. And it's, again, just through that. There's no special data integration there. It's just Open Graph. It's user followed object. All right. Well, thanks everyone for coming.
I know, yeah. Ganesh in the back here actually has our developer guide, a shorter version of our overall documentation. So you can grab that. And of course, these guys down here are doing a 3:15 session tomorrow, a little bit deeper dive into developing on the platform.